I want to do a little refresher course with y'all tonight. I want to speak from my book, Listen to Your Heart. And the part of I'm dealing with, some of you may have read my book, Listen to Your Heart, but listening to your heart leads to success. Now, when I'm talking about a heart, I'm not talking about the organ in our body that pumps blood. I'm talking about what the Bible says. Paul says this in 1 Thessalonians 5:23, "May the God of peace himself sanctify you completely. May your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ." Now, Peter in 1 Peter 3:4, he says this, "But let it, and this is the old King James, but let it be the hidden man of the heart, and that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which in the sight of God is a great price." Now, in the New King James, it says, "Rather, let it be the hidden person of the heart." So if we're going to be successful in life, we got to learn to listen to our heart. When it's speaking of heart there, it's talking about the spirit of man. We go back there to what Paul said, spirit, soul, and body. We are a three-part being. We are a spirit, we have a body, and we have a soul. The soulish part of man is our brain area. Now, if we're going to be successful, we got to learn how to listen to our heart or our spirit. You know, when you don't know what to do, the Spirit always can give you the answer. It knows what you should do and where you should go and how you should go. We need to learn to listen to our heart, whether we're young or old or in between. You know, I guess I learned this from my father when I was growing up in his house. You know, sometimes people call it an inward witness or an inward knowing. Well, that's the Spirit of God. You know, sometimes, you know, just like might be driving home, and I normally go the same way every time I go home. How many of you, I'm going home from the office. How many of you, every time you go home from office or certain place, you normally take a certain route? Is that correct? Well, I was, you know, just seemed, I didn't have any supernatural experience or anything. I just seemed to be impressed. Don't go that way. Now, did anything happen? I don't know. But I just went with coming from here. And, you know, I've told this before, but now when I was a teenager growing up, we would cruise the town. And we had a route that, and everybody was on it. And it'd be, I don't know how many cars on it. We start out here on the square to town, and we'd go out here and go down and go to Lindy's number 2, turn around, drive back around, drive around the square, and go out here to Lindy's number 1. And you can put a lot of miles on your car at night doing that. Now, I don't know what people do nowadays. I'm telling you what we did when I was 16, 17, 18 years old. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Yeah, we'd go cruising around. And everybody went up to the square, and a lot of times we'd just go up there and we'd park and, you know, and sit on the car fenders and talk and so forth. And then we might all just get in one guy's car, you know, maybe four or five of us just get in one guy's car, and we'd just be cruising that way. Because the girls they would get in one of the girls' cars, and they're cruising too. And how many know what I'm talking about? Come on now, don't look at me like that. But so we was cruising around and with a bunch of guys, and all of a sudden one of them said, "Hey, why don't we go over here? Go over to the next town." And he started talking about, you know, stirring up some stuff. And I knew, you know, on the inside of me, I had this sense, this is bad. I don't need to go. I mean, I'm not 16 years, 17 years old maybe by then. I don't know, 16 or 17. And I told him, I said, "Stop the car, I want out." Well, they laughed at me and called me chicken, yellow, and that's what they used to do back in my day. I don't know about some of you, but that's what they did in my day. And, you know, I said, "I want out." And they kept on. Finally, I just screamed at them. I said, "Stop this car now." Sort of startled them, and they stopped the car, and I got out. Well, by that time, we were probably 3 or 4 miles out of town. And I started walking back in, going to walk back into town, because that's the only way I had to get there. And one of my buddies, he lived out there on a farm. He come by and he saw me. He's going into town himself in his pickup, and he stopped and picked me up. And he said, "What in the world are you doing out here, Hagin?" I said, "Because that's what in school, I don't know what y'all did in y'all's in our school, everybody had different names. They called us, and they always called me Hagin. Never by my first name. They call me by my last name. Part of the reason was." Is it because in the sixth grade, we had six of us that was all named Kenneth or Kenny. And so that's when it started. And it went all the way through high school, by the way. And I said, "Well, I was with," and I named the guys I was with. And I said, "And they decided they're going to go over here to such and such town and stir up some trouble." He said, "Man, they're going to get in trouble." And I said, "Well, we found out." Yeah. He saw me the next day. He said, "Have you heard?" I said, "No, I hadn't heard." And he said, "Hey, they all got arrested and put in jail. And their parents just went over there this morning to get them out." You know, now I wasn't 16, 17. And, you know, I mean, I was a Christian and I was living for God. But, you know, I wasn't into the Word and stuff like you are when you get to be a little older. How many understand what I'm talking about? Okay? But listening to my heart has helped me all of my life. And we all know 1 John 4:4, but you belong to God, my dear children. You've already won a victory over these people because the Spirit who lives in you is greater than the Spirit who lives in the world. I'm reading that from the NLT. I like the way it reads a little better. You know, I've heard my dad say this many, many, many times. We ought to be more conscious of the greater one on the inside of us than we are anything else. Anybody ever heard him say that? If you ever said in any, many of his services, you heard it. Now, you can't learn to respond to situations from your heart unless you're continually conscious of the presence of God that dwells in you. Come on now. He's there for a reason, to lead, guide, guard, and direct. The Word of God tells us this. You know, Dad, again, quoting what he would say, he said, he said, for the most part, he's not going to use prophets and spectacular events to guide your life. Now, God may confirm through others what he's already said in your own heart. Dad always said, if somebody gives you a word and it doesn't match something that the Lord's already dealing with you about, put it on the shelf. Now, if we want God to lead us, we got to learn to listen. In the world, sometimes we are so taken up with everything that we really don't listen to that quiet voice on the inside. Psalm 16:7 says, I will bless the Lord who guides me. Even at night, my heart instructs me. Now, there, my heart instructs me. This tells us that listening to our heart, that's where we get our guidance from. Like I said a while ago, some people call it inner witness. Some people won't call it inner knowing. But he said, at night, my heart instructs me. That inner knowing is the Holy Spirit on the inside of you, giving you direction. He don't jump up and down and yell and scream. He simply gives you a simple urge. I mean, anybody know what I'm talking about? Any believer, I don't care whether they've been a believer for 35 years or been a believer for 35 minutes, any believer can be led by their heart or by the Spirit of God on the inside of you. Now, a lot of times, new believers in the beginning are more aware of the Spirit of God because the dramatic change that is taking place in them. They're more conscious of it, maybe would be another word to say. And that makes it easier for them to follow the Holy Spirit and when they're a young Christian. You know, over the years, in listening to people talk and being around and traveling with my dad and being with him and having people come up and talk to him, you know, over the years, even young Christians, sometimes people won't call them baby Christians, they tell me about a certain meeting they went to, and they said, we just knew something was wrong, but we couldn't put our finger on it. See, they didn't know much Bible. They just got born again. And they just instinctively, that spirit on the inside of you. Well, on the other hand, supposedly mature Christians went to that same meeting and they come out, you know, and they didn't compare it with the Word just because of who the speaker was. They took it. You know, you need to always... Don't take anything anybody hollers at you, throws at you. You need to always check. It may not be all wrong, but if there's something wrong with it, there will be, you get a little. Know what I'm trying to say to you? It just seems, hey, this something's not right here. Something's not right here. But if you know. The Word of God is the standard of truth. You don't need to check with the Holy Spirit every time that you want to do something, because the Bible plainly tells you certain things. Just like in 2 Corinthians 6:14, it says to not be unequally yoked together. In other words, you don't, not to marry an unbeliever. The Word of God tells you some things that you don't have to. But now, many times, if you start to go contrary to what the Word of God says, the Spirit on the inside of you will try to stop you. Come on now. But we override that sometimes. You know, many people override. Maybe the Spirit of God wants them to do something for somebody or bless somebody. And they don't need anything. Come on now. How do you know? Just because what they look like on the outside, that doesn't mean anything. You know, there have been many times that the Lord has impressed me to do something, and I've done it. And I found out later that it was the one thing I'm thinking about right now. I was at a ministers meeting, and I wasn't speaking that day, And I was there, and we had a time of prayer after minister preached, and you know, it was a minister's deal, and we were down in front praying, and I like to walk and pray, and it was just all ministers were there, and so I was just walking back and forth praying. Anybody else like to walk when you pray? Oh, I got several hands. And I walked by this one guy. He was just kneeling there, and I walked by him several times, and I kept having the urge to give him $100. Well, that's all the money I had to my name. I didn't have any more money. That's all I had. And because you know why I had this has been many, 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 many years ago. The reason I had that is because when I first started out in the ministry when I was 18, my dad told me, he said, "Son, you need a whole lot more of that today." But back then it was, he said, "As soon as you can, save up $100 and go get a $100 bill and hide it in your billfold, because you can always get out of town." Because back then you could go preach and they might give you an offering and they might not. So if you didn't have some money to buy some gas with, you was in trouble. And so finally I just did it. And he happened to have his hands up and with his eyes closed, and I don't know, his shirt pocket was sort of flopped open, and I was able to just, I had it folded up, you know, and I just able to just drop it in there and kept on walking by. You know, I found out later that he needed that exact amount for a certain thing that he needed to do for his family. And I didn't know it. I didn't know it. I had said, "Lord, he don't need no money. I know him. I knew him." But you see, that was that little urge on the inside. Sometimes we miss a blessing and they miss a blessing because we don't listen to our heart. You know, I mean, all the time, I mean, we were somewhere at a restaurant not long ago, and we really didn't, we had talked to the person, but we really didn't know them. I mean, they just came way to our table. We got in a little conversation. You know, sometimes you get in a little conversation with them, find out about them and stuff. And, you know, found out that, I think we found out that they were a college student or something anyway. And Annette said, "You know, I feel led." Now, we gave a tip on the bill. She always does. She always tips 20 to 30%. I think it's because for 5 years she was a hairdresser and she understood tips. Any of you ever work with tips? I guarantee you, you give good tips because of that. But she said, "I just feel impressed to give this young man $100. I said, "Well, I do too." I said, "I didn't get a figure. I just felt impressed we should give him something." And so that's what we did. Somebody said, "Well, do you know anything?" "No, I don't know nothing about it, but I know my spirit." And she was picking it up. I was picking it up. But, you know, sometimes, hey, when the Lord has you to do something, do it. Somebody said, "Well, you didn't even know him." Or, "That's right, I didn't know him. But I don't know. God may have been trying to bless him." And then I know one thing, when you respond and do what God tells you to do, you will be blessed. You will be blessed. Come on now. You know, every believer has the responsibility to be sensitive to the Spirit, because he wants to guide us in our spiritual things, but he also wants to guide us in natural things, our relationships, our thoughts, finances. You know, when we have decisions to make, we need the wisdom that comes from the Holy Spirit. Now, That doesn't matter. Somebody said, well, yeah, we need major decisions. No, minor decisions. Not just major decisions. Whatever it is you need to learn how to talk to God. Don't limit God. Seek his guidance on the big things and the little things. He wants to lead you in your personal life as well as your spiritual life. God wants to guide you in your leisure activities and your relationships. And I already talked about the Lord wanting to help somebody else. Years ago, and this was way back, right? What, in the late 70s, I guess it'd be 79 or 80, I don't know. But all of that back there, you know where the ball fields are now? That was just vacant land then. All of those buildings were not occupied back there at that time. They had been built, but they weren't occupied because that was called a Graham Franklin deal. In fact, the way we have those built, those fall ball fields, they came to us, the guys that developed all of that back there, that whole thing all the way about, goes all the way back over, all the way around. They developed that, and they came to me and they said, listen, these lots right here, where our ball fields are, they said, listen, we've already made our money back. If you want them, we'll sell them to you for what we paid for the land. And by this time, the land had gone up because they had developed it. And you know what happens when they develop, the price goes up. And that's the way we got it. And there was a body shop over there, and one of the Rhema students was working there, and he worked late. I mean, he didn't go to work till after school, and then he had worked till 9, 10 o'clock sometimes, and then he locked up. The guy that owned the body shop, he was a Rhema person, and still is, but so. He was working, and all of a sudden, he just felt in his heart to close up early. And so he immediately got everything ready and closed up. And as he stepped outside to lock up the door, he heard a noise, sound like a groaning, but then it stopped. He looked around, didn't see anything. So he walked on toward his car. Just as he got to the car, he heard it again. And so he was looking again. And by this time, he was out close to the street. And he saw a small light on the ground across the street. And it would have been where that curb is, right out there. Any of you ever been around there where that curb goes down by the ball fields? Well, he saw that light. He went over there, and there was a person laying on the grass and motorcycle there. He had had a wreck, and the guy, he immediately began to speak life to him, laid hands on him and prayed. And then he ran back into the shop to call for help because we didn't have no cell phone back then, y'all. So he had to go back in the shop to get a phone call for help. Then he went back out. And while he's waiting for the ambulance to get there, he kept praying over this fella. Now, he didn't have any identification on him at that time. So later, of course, they contacted us at school. Later, we found out he was a Rhema student, and he was going too fast, and he went in on that motorcycle and hit the curb, and he wrecked. And he was in bad way. And the doctors said that probably shouldn't have even recovered much of that. But listen, that back then there was nothing out there. That been that late at night. There was nobody. It was dark. There wasn't none of the lights that we have out there now. It was dark back then. Anybody here, back in the 80s, 79 or 80, anybody remember that how that was dark back there? And so, and the there probably, if that man, young man hadn't listened to his spirit, that Rhema student probably would have died, the doctor said, because it would have probably been the next morning, because hardly anybody went on that street back there then. Probably it would have been the next morning before anybody ever found him. You know, it's important to listen to your heart. Anybody getting anything out of this? I know it's a reminder, but sometimes we need to be reminded of some things. Anyway, the great English preacher Charles Spurgeon said that a sermon's not even, you can't even preach a sermon good till you preach it 50 times anyway. And I hadn't preached this one but a couple, I don't think. But follow your heart will give you success in every area of life. Now, Dad used to tell a story, and I use a lot of his stories because I sat and I heard him preach so many times, I know the stories. I know the stories. But a fella that grew up there in Texas, and that's where Dad grew up, that's where I grew up, down there in Texas. He grew up in poverty, but now he was a wealthy, wealthy man. And Dad was talking to him one day, because Dad knew him really, really well. And he told Dad, he said, "I've never lost one penny in all the years on any investment I made." My dad said, "Well, what was your key?" And he said, "I listened to my spirit." He said, "Even when everybody else said, 'Man, this is it. You got to get in on this.' But something on the inside of me said, no, no." And I didn't do it. But he said, other deals that everybody said, "No, I wouldn't invest in that. I wouldn't get involved in that at all. Man, it's not right." But he said, he felt the leading of the Spirit to do it, and sure enough, it turned out good for him. So what he said to Dad, he said, "Listen, if people would learn," and this is a businessman, but he said, "if Christians," is what he said, "if Christians would learn how to listen to the Spirit on the inside, they wouldn't get in some of the messes that they get in." You know, he said, I've never invested anything that I didn't first go to God and seek Him diligently." You know, you can't listen to your spirit if you hadn't been fellowshipping with God. You know, sometimes the economic people say certain things, and yes, we need to learn how to use our natural wisdom, but then we need to learn how to use our spiritual wisdom that God gives us, okay? You know, now let me give you real quick here, because I just got about 8 minutes. Let me give you some practical keys for listening to your heart and receiving guidance from God. Number one, if you decide to go against natural wisdom, be absolutely certain that God has told you. And don't ever get in a hurry. Now, many times on building these buildings and buying equipment and stuff for this campus, I have gone against natural wisdom. But it wasn't until I was sure that that's what we were to do. Just make sure. Now, a lot of people, they make a decision and they say, "God help me. I trust it. This is good." You know, key number two, okay? We often receive revelations from the Lord when our mind is quiet and our hearts are open. You know, Guidance may come when you least expect it. I remember years and years and years and years ago, this before the church ever started, I guess, and it was just before the church started. We would go out in western Oklahoma and ride four-wheelers. We'd go out with the kids for the weekend, and I'd pick them up at school and have everything loaded, and we'd go out there and to spend the weekend and come back. Well, we'd been riding during the day, and Lynette had gone into the motorhome to fix a meal for the night. And I just said, I'm just going to ride out there. And So I just rode out and went up on top of a sand dune and just laid back on my four-wheeler, put my legs over the handlebars, and just laid back, just looking up in the sky. It was twilight, you know, and a little cool breeze was blowing, and it wasn't that hot. And laying there and looking up in the sky, I really wasn't thinking about nothing. And all of a sudden, something that I had been praying about, a decision, all of a sudden I saw it as clear as everything. And that's when the Lord began to remind me, your mind was quiet, your spirit was quiet, and you could hear. Because sometimes we are in so much noise and stuff that's going on around us that we can't hear. So it's important that you do this. Sometimes our minds are so cluttered with the daily routine that we can't hear him. Number three, don't try to measure success by comparing you to what other people are doing. The Lord does not measure your success that way. He measures your success. Are you doing what he told you to do, where he told you to do it? As I close this out, Psalms 32:8 says, the Lord will guide you along the best pathway for your life. I will advise you and watch over you. Now I'm going to use a story from Corrie Ten Boom. She was the only surviving member that survived the Nazi concentration camps in World War II. And she was invited to America to give her testimony and to speak. But every time she applied for travel documents, they refused her. And in fact, they were very curt and unfriendly and didn't even want to talk to her anymore. But she kept going back anyway. So one day, as she's waiting in line to get up and ask them again, she just claimed this scripture, Psalms 32:8. The Lord says, I will guide you along the best path for your life. I will advise you and watch over you. And so she is standing there in line waiting with her papers to try to get them documented so she could travel. And as she is standing there, a man walked by and he stopped, turned around and said, hey, you're my cousin. And she looked up and she said, yeah, yes. Said, well, I haven't seen you in years. And she said, well, are you traveling too, going to America? And he said, no, I work in this building. And he gave her a piece of paper with the phone number on it and said, if you ever need anything, just call me. Well, she got up there and that once again, the person was very curt with her and said, what are you doing back here? So forth and so on. And so she just slid that piece of paper toward her and said, would you dial that number and just ask him? And when the guy saw the number, the story says his eyes got big. He dialed the number and he kept saying, yes, yes, sir, yes, 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 yes. And hung up and immediately stamped her stuff. She never did say who it was, but evidently he was the head of everything. And for the rest of her life, she said that that was her scripture and that she constantly bumped into the right people just at the right time to pave her way as she traveled. You know, I will guide you along the best pathway for your life. I will advise you and watch over you. You know, that's how God listen to your heart, and you can be in the right place at the right time for the right person to be there for what you need. Come on now. In every situation, let me give you this little exhortation. In every situation in life, learn to respond from your heart instead of from your head and physical senses. You are a temple of the Holy Spirit, and He will faithfully guide you in every area of your life as you learn to listen to your heart and follow His leadings. Heavenly Father, I simply talk to these people for a few moments tonight to get them to the point of listening to their heart. I thank you, Father, that we'll be more aware of your presence, more aware of your leading and guidance than we ever have been before. In Jesus' name, amen. Everybody stand. I hope this was a good reminder for you. Anybody get anything out of this tonight? Good, good. Praise the Lord. If you happen to be with us tonight and you don't know Jesus Christ, your personal Savior, well, we want you to find Him before you leave here. Or you know what it is to serve Christ, but you sort of taken a detour and got off course. If that's you on any one of those invitations, as we're dismissed, the ladies are here, the men are here, this is our prayer partners, they'll pray with you and you won't leave here like you came. If you need prayer for any reason whatsoever, as we're dismissed, you come right down here and they'll pray with you, and you won't leave here like you came. Amen. Hey, Sunday morning, we're going to be right here, 10 o'clock, come. Anybody know what Sunday is? Special day for fathers. Yes, it is. Well, come believing, come expecting. If you need prayer for any reason, come to the front right now. Turn around and shake hands with somebody and say, I don't know about you, but I'm going to listen to my spirit more. God bless. We'll see you Sunday. If you need prayer for any reason, come to the front right now.